Just some notes from here and there before we get started to encourage your hearts. As dear church, I just want to drop a note to you for a couple of reasons. We are thrilled to hear the great news of your cancer improvement. My four-year-old son makes sure to pray for you every night before bed. And I got to tell him how God is healing you. His little eyes lit up and he started thanking God on the spot. Amen. That was a blessing for more than one reason. Also want to say thank you for all the work you've done over the years. My wife was unsure about her salvation. She grew up in a Reformed Baptist church, Calvinist, which really pushed her away from anything to do with the Bible. But she got a hold of your book, A Sure Foundation, really dug into it. She's found the answers to her questions, and now she knows that she is saved and sealed. So praise the Lord for that. Here's one to bless your heart. Good afternoon. I want to thank you for the young teen adult group that goes to DeLand Manor Assisted Living. My mother is one of the residents there, and she enjoys the prayer, the sermons, and the songs. Your wonderful young adult group is humble and kind. You will see a note of thanksgiving here for myself and my husband. We are grateful to your church ministry for the services you hold in the DeLand Manor, keeping the Word of God and the belief, faith, and love of Jesus Christ in the hearts of the residents actively present. Isn't that a blessing? And it proves our teens can be nice when they... No, that's really great. And a similar note, dear Pastor Knox, I recently watched your people preach the Word of God in the Clearwater downtown, and I want to let you know that I was very impressed with their work for the Lord. They were all very polite and approachable. They spoke the true Word to everyone that I watched them talk to. They did not flinch or were cowed by anyone. I've lived in Clearwater for years and have been to many different churches in the area. Your people know the Bible and the Word of God. I have to admit I did not approach them when I saw them because I didn't know what they held in their heart. Many people come here to preach in front of the Scientology buildings just to be seen on YouTube. And quite honestly, he just goes on to say... They're not preaching the gospel and trying to reach people. But I want to thank you and everyone who came to Clearwater to preach the Word of God. It was so wonderful to see, and I hope that I will see you again. So that's a nice note. Get out there. Just preach the gospel. Try to win people to Christ. And let's see. Here's a good note here. Good morning, brother. I'm pastor in South Carolina. I just wanted to tell you, I thank you for being on the radio here in WTBI. You really have been helping my daughter. I pray for your ministry. My daughter's living out in Montana. We were missionaries out there for a while. She listened to your broadcast. It has moved her to start memorizing her Bible, and she is just growing. She's 20 years old. She's really seeking the will of the Lord. I believe she's going to take your online Bible college in the fall. I just want to tell you, thank you. I praise God you're doing better in your health. I don't know if we'll ever meet or cross paths, but I want to know I appreciate you and praying for you and listen to you on WTBI most days when I'm in the office studying in the afternoon. So good notes that come in just about every single day, and we thank the Lord for it. Thank you for all your help in allowing us to try and reach the world. That's what we're trying to do, is get God's Word to everyone. Proverbs chapter 8 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 8, we're studying matters of home and family and relationships throughout the summer. And this morning's message is the partner you must have in your life. And this evening's message will also be from Proverbs, and it will be titled, The Partner You Don't Want in Your Life. So that's a little preview of things to come. Heavenly Father, help me this morning. Give me the strength, the clarity of mind, the right heart to proclaim the truth of your word. Pray, Father, that each and every one of us would receive it and be blessed by it and helped by what we hear today. In Jesus' name and amen. 36 verses in this chapter, 5 minutes commentary on each verse. You do the math, settle in, get comfortable. We're going to go through Proverbs chapter number 8 together. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. My brother, my sister, this morning, before you try to be a good husband, and I hope you will, before you try to be a good wife, and I hope you will, before you try to be a good parent, and I hope you will, before you try to be a good friend or a good church member, and I hope you will, it will require wisdom. In order for you to succeed in any relationship, you will need to be wise. Intelligent people have marriages that fail. Brilliant people do a very poor job of raising children. Rich people, powerful people, can't maintain friendships. People that have studied their Bible and know it frontwards and backwards can't get in a church and stay in a church. The Lord says there is a relationship that you need to have with wisdom that is essential, it is fundamental, it undergirds every other relationship. It must be acquired. And then I read in these verses, what a wonderful gift of God's grace. Wisdom is not hidden behind 6 years of seminary walls. Wisdom is not hidden behind the trappings of some remote place in a mountaintop or in a faraway village where you lock yourself away from society and seek inner light or seek deeper truth. Wisdom is crying out as you drive down the road. It is crying out as you walk down the sidewalk. It is calling out to you as you sit in your home. God is not hiding wisdom. God is not making wisdom a difficult thing to locate. God is not making wisdom unattainable. It is readily available to everyone who wants to have it. Praise the Lord. Now, we live under a constitution that says we hold all these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, which is interesting because I've lived a long time. I haven't seen any two men that are created equal. Now, they're all equally created, but they're not all created equal. And as I look about and as I converse with people, I realize some people are brilliant intellectually and some people are lacking intellectually, and some people have great personal skills and other people have seemingly no personal skills, and we could just keep going down that list. Some have this and some have that, and some are well equipped and some are not well equipped, and yet the wisdom cries out and says, are you a fool? I can make you wise. Are you simple? I can make you wise. God doesn't limit the ability to be wise to those who are naturally gifted or naturally able. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You can get saved and have no education. You can get saved and have no training. You can get born again and have had no proper upbringing. Your father might have failed you. Your mother might have failed you. You may have been taught everything completely wrong instead of that which is right. And yet wisdom calls out and says, let me enter your life. And I can give you the wisdom of kings, and I can give you the wisdom of the greatest men and women who have ever lived. Isn't it an amazing thing? That the thing we most need, apart from salvation of our souls, wisdom to live our lives, it calls out to us and offers us more than a college education, more than a Bible school training, more than a proper upbringing, the very way in which God Himself views life and approaches life and lives life is served up for you on a platter for you to enjoy and feast upon. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, this world says that the key to a successful life is a great education. But many with a great education live a terrible life. And the key to a good life is a great career and a great job. And yet many people have a great career and a miserable life. And if you just had money, you would be happy. And I've seen a lot of people with a lot of money weren't happy one day in their life. The Lord says, if you had a choice between silver, if you had a choice between gold, if you had a choice between rubies, and wisdom being your instructor, you should opt for wisdom. And it's yours and it's available. Don't take some of our beloved, blessed weddings that we've had here at Bible Baptist Church, where a fellow rents a car to go off on his honeymoon because he wants to make sure he reaches his destination, and the car that he drives is suspect at best. But every now and then the media will make a big deal out of some very, very wealthy person who's going to get married to some very, very young person who doesn't care what he looks like because she's about to become very, very wealthy. And as they report on these weddings, you first ask yourself, if that man's got that much money, how come he couldn't buy her a full dress to get married in? There they are, and as they come down the aisle, her shoes cost a small fortune, and her jewels cost a large fortune, and the ring that he's going to place upon her hand is dazzling in its size and in its beauty. And as they whisk away in their limousine and in their jet and off to their island vacation, the betting odds begin. Will it last a year? Will it last 2 years? Who will be the first to commit adultery? And what you realize is that all of this money and all of this wealth and all of this flash doesn't teach that man how to be a good husband and doesn't teach that woman how to be a good wife. They might have a fortune, but they lack wisdom. And then we see our boys and girls go off to college, and some get a bachelor's degree, and some a master's degree, and some a doctorate, and some settle in and write papers and do research at the university all their lives. And for all of that, they don't know where they came from. For all of that, they don't know where they're going. For all of that, they don't know how the heavens and the earth came into existence. For all of that, they're not so sure that great-grandmother wasn't an orangutan. And I say to you, education, we're not against it. Money, we're not against it. But all the things this world could offer you are not to be traded for the wisdom that is available and the wisdom that can be had in the pages of the Holy Bible, in the pages of the Word of God. Education cannot equal contentment, and money cannot equal joy and satisfaction in life. But all the wisdom that comes from the Word of God, lamp to our feet, light to our path, guiding our steps, directing our way, will make your life one of absolute satisfaction and happiness as you walk in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in verse number six, I will speak of excellent things. They excel any other words. The opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It should be self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That when a society abandons the Bible and begins to say that there's no sin, there's no ungodliness, there's no wickedness, just follow your heart and do what you feel like doing. They assume that everyone will follow their heart to chase rainbows and butterflies. They assume that everyone will follow their heart to fall in love and live like princesses and kings. Because they've forsaken the word of God, it never occurs to them that some will follow their heart to become thieves and robbers and murderers and looters and rioters and people that would harm you and kill you. And so wisdom not only says this is right, but this is wrong. And wisdom not only says this is truth, but this is error. And wisdom not only says live this way, but says don't live this way. And what a joy to be able to rise up every morning of your life and not go to the internet and hear a myriad voices all contradicting one another. Some saying this is right and others saying no, it's wrong. And some saying this is real and others saying no, it's not real. What a blessing to know the Word of God and know that thus saith the Lord, every word of this book is true and righteous altogether. And if God says something is a sin, you don't have to say why, you just trust Him. And if God says something to bless your life, you don't have to reason it and figure it out, you just trust Him and it'll prove itself every single time. Wisdom cries out. And the Bible says here in verse number 8, all the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. I'm on the I'm not on the downhill side of life. The hill is just about to level out on the other side. And in this county, when I was a boy, in this county, our mothers and our fathers sent us off to the government school, sent us off to the public school. And we learned strange things. The alphabet, arithmetic, social studies, math and science and language and history. And I suppose we didn't get a thorough, well-rounded education. Because we never learned anything about any kind of sex. Come on. Not even normal sex. We didn't learn about perverted sex, and we didn't learn about abnormal sex, and we didn't learn about indecent, horrible things so far off the charts that God didn't even write about them in the Bible. Right. You know what we had? We didn't have teachers that were saved. We had teachers that had walked in the ways of wisdom. All of our parents weren't born again Christians, but they walked in the way of wisdom. And as your society has thrown away the Word of God, they have thrown away the brains right out of their head. They've thrown away the common sense right out of their conscience. They are indoctrinating children in things that ought not to be spoken of by anyone anywhere. If you have to normalize something, it's not normal. If you have to justify something, it's not just. And you live in a society that mocks and makes fun of the Bible, and look what they are offering you instead. I don't want it. I'm not buying it. I don't want it if it's free. Praise the Lord. We live in a day when adultery and unfaithfulness is not even given a second thought. Someone can be considered a moral man, a righteous man, a God-fearing man with a string of wives and illegitimate children left in his wake. You know what we need? We need to start listening to this book again. No error in it. No perverseness in it. No ungodliness in it. It'll teach you how to live. It'll teach you how to live right. Every woman would be better off be married to a man that feared God and believed the Bible. Every man be better off be married to a woman that feared God and believed the Bible. Every child be better off being raised by a father and mother that feared God and believed the Bible. Amen. Amen. Verse number 12, the Bible says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. It'll make you a prude. You don't need to dabble in sin. You don't need to give in to immorality. You don't need to be immodest to be pretty. You don't need to be crude to be masculine. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge by witty inventions. Who'd have ever thought of that? God did. God did. Everything you encounter in life, God has a witty invention. He's come up with a way to deal with that, to handle that, to be victorious in that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You know why our young people, so many of them, live like fools instead of wise people? Because they sit at the feet of arrogant people. These singers are arrogant. These rappers are arrogant. These entertainers are arrogant. Everything about them is pride. The media builds them up. Pride, haughty, arrogant, defiant. Look at me. Nobody tames me. Look at me. Nobody tells me what to do. Look at me. I don't follow any rules. Look at me. I'm not governed by societal norms. Well, as long as you're looking at that, you'll never be wise. You turn your eyes away from all that arrogant garbage and all that pride, and you need to humble yourself as the Lord Jesus Christ did. Nobody's stronger than Jesus Christ. Nobody's greater than Jesus Christ. Nobody's accomplished more than Jesus Christ. Nobody's more amazing than Jesus Christ. And he humbled himself. That's the way of wisdom. That's the path of righteousness. He says in verse number 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. You don't have time to read everything. You don't have to research everything. I understand that. But you just have to know that psychology was a field of science invented to give people an option who didn't want to listen to preachers. To give people guidance in their life who didn't want to follow the Word of God. Study it out. You find it out. You know what the Lord said? Counsel is mine. You want a counselor? Open a Bible. You want a counselor? Get somebody to open a Bible and tell you what the book says. People get a problem in their marriage and they come to a preacher and the preacher shows them what the Bible say and they dump the preacher and go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, somebody that agree with them that their sin is all right and their bad attitude is all right and their disobedience is all right. That's not the path to righteousness and happiness and victory. That's the path to defeat. Lord said, counsel is mine. Thus saith the Lord. What does God say about your emotional difficulties? What does God say about the struggles that you have with your past and your present? What does God say about your hopes and dreams for the future? Counsel. He's a mighty counselor. Available to you, free of charge. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. You say, I sure wish I could be king. You know what God said? Wisdom trumps king. I wish I could be waiting to sit upon a throne. Wisdom trumps prince. I wish I could sit as a judge. I would rule on some of these cases. I wish they'd turn all this stuff that's going on in our country over to me. I'd fix it. You know what the Lord said? Wisdom trumps judges. You know what's better than being a king? Being wise. What's better than being a prince or a judge? Being wise. God offers you... Come on. You could sit and watch the newscast, and every one of us that knows something about the Bible could say, I can't believe the president is doing that. I can't believe that Congress is doing that. I can't believe the judges ruled that way. Okay? You'll never take their place. But what a joy in your life with your Bible to know better how to live than a president, to know better how to govern and control yourself than Congress, to know better how to rule on right and wrong than the Supreme Court and the circuit courts. You know what the Lord said? You're not a king, but you're a dad. You're not a congressman, but you're a mom. You're not a judge, but you're a member of a family. Step up into the high office God has given you and exercise that office with the wisdom of God and live a life. It's the only life you've got. You'll never be president. You'll never be senator. You'll never sit on a circuit court bench. But you will be a member of your family. You will be a member of your church. Then soak in wisdom. And let God guide you and direct you. In verse number 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. First thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. What do I want? The thing I need to get me through the day. First, First thing, what do I need? The thing I most depend upon. You know what the Lord said? Make it wisdom. Make it wisdom. Before, this is for all of you my age and older, before the newspaper, the Word of God. Before the web, the Word of God. Now, we want you to have good, happy homes, so right after the coffee, the Word of God. See, I said first thing when you wake up. So, get a little stimulant in you, then the Word of God. You know, the first thing you look at is your stock report. That's not a good thing to have number one in your life. If the first thing you do is check your calorie count and carb intake, that's not the best thing to start your life with. First thing you do is check and see how many like clicks you got to your last post. You know what the Lord said? Why don't you start with wisdom? Why don't you start with the greatest, most important companion you can have in the days of your life? Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches. Now, here's what they got these terms. When your government says something, this is what you need to know. Whatever they say is not what they mean. It's just not what they mean. So, I'm not trying. I don't know where you live. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but they have this thing that they call it affordable housing. All housing is affordable for somebody. Now, it might be a tent, or it might be a 40,000 square foot mansion, but everybody can afford housing. Here's what the Lord says about riches. Whatever you make, whatever your income, I can see to it that your riches are sufficient to get you from cradle to grave. I'll take care of you. There are people who have made millions and are bankrupt. There are people who have had great careers and they are now living in the woods. Here's what the Lord said. I can teach you how to live on your income level, on your intelligence level, on your capabilities, with the opportunities that are before you. I can show you how to keep a roof over your head and food on your table and clothes on your back. And it's obvious that the world can't do that, because look at all the people that are in a financial disaster out there because they thought they could make it through life without God. Amen. Amen. I'm saying to all you young people, before you look at a dollar amount, before you look at what that career pays, before you look at the benefits that come with that job, have you sought the Word of God? Will you have to sell out Jesus to make that money? Will you have to skip church to take that job? Will that career path turn you away from the straight and narrow of the Holy Bible? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. God can make righteous money go farther than the devil can make unrighteous money go. That's just a fact. And so he says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. So we have had in recent days, far too many funeral services. I'll tell you what a tough patch we've been through. I was leaving the graveside Thursday, and the funeral home director said, Pastor Knox, we've been doing this far too often. I hope I don't see you for a while. Isn't that something? Now, you know what? The people, you think about it. My mother-in-law, If I told you what she left materially after living 80 plus years in this world, married to a working man who lived 91 years in this world, you would say that's not true. That's not true. You couldn't get to the end of a life that long and have that little to your name. But she did. But she did. And Bob Perrell worked all his life and didn't leave Deb in the lap of luxury. Brother Terry, now, on the other hand, garages full of junk from yard sale. Here's what I'm telling you. These people loved the Lord, followed Jesus Christ, got in church, served God, and without the kind of money people say you have to be happy, they were happy. And without the kind of income people say you have to enjoy life, they enjoyed life. And without the material things people say are necessary for you to be content, they were content. Why? Because wisdom is better than all of that stuff. If you want to have good relationships in your life, make sure the first one is the best one. A relationship with the wisdom of God. The Bible says in verse number 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Praise God. We set out, when I was a boy, I read all these history books, one after another, just loved history, and then we traveled, my family traveled, we went to all these great sites out west. So National Park Service and Bureau of Land Management, between the two of them, they have about 550-ish sites throughout the United States, historical sites geological sites and all that. And we just set out, my wife and I, many years ago, try and visit all of them. And we only got about 40 of them left that we haven't been to. And so we're on this trip. We're doing some street preaching last week and visiting some of these places. And it doesn't matter where you go. We went to one, and we got on this boat, and the tour guide says, now, these hills were formed 1 billion years ago. When this happened and that happened, 1 billion years ago. And these hills over here, they're from a glacial event that took place 400,000 years ago. And everybody on the tour, except for two religious fanatics, just go, billion years ago, 400 million years ago. So cool how it all always ends in a bunch of zeros. Like nothing was ever 452, it was always just 400. But because people worship education, they just take education at its word. Because people worship educated people, they just take the word of educated people. Now, the reason I don't care about the billion-year statement and the 400-million-year statement is I worship God. And if those hills and islands were formed 6,000 years ago, I know who was there first. And if they were formed 1 billion years ago, I know who was there first. Wisdom. That's what you just read. Whenever you think it was made, God made it, and wisdom was right there beside Him. And before it was there, so, well, what was God doing? There's no people, you know, and no creation. What was God doing back there? He was hanging out with wisdom. And the two of them were just having a good time. Well, I don't know about that. Okay, let me ask you something. They say there's like 8 billion people in the world, okay? Do you have a wife that you really love and enjoy? You got a husband you really love and enjoy? Can you not enjoy keeping company with your wife, doing nothing, if nobody else in the world is having anything to do with you? Okay, one person. You got a best friend? You have a best friend growing up? I had a best friend growing up. We didn't care about Washington or Hollywood or Europe. Didn't know much of anything about it. We just needed two bicycles and a lunch and some energy to have the time of our lives. You ever had a friendship like that? You think God needed us to come along for Him to have a good time? You think the Lord needed stuff to enjoy Himself? Here's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and they are just having a great time hanging out. I don't know about that. Well, get a good friend. Have a good marriage. And you'll understand it. So when you get all the way back to wherever Darwin wrote his book to get rid of the Bible, that's what he said. What he said, give people an alternative to the Bible. Darwin wrote that book. When you get all the way back to the first two apes, what do you got? When you get all the way back to the Big Bang, what do you got? When you get all the way back to the chemical dust, what have you got? When I get all the way back there, I go one step farther, and there's my Savior. There's my God. There's my Comforter. There's my Redeemer. There's my friend. There's my Lord. God's there. Well, wisdom said, don't stop till you get to me. Whatever you see, I was there first. Whatever you hear, I was there first. Whatever you experience, I was there first. Why in the world, young people, why in the world would you go to a chat group to find out how to live when you could go to God?
Amen.
He's seen it all. He's done it all. He knows it all. Praise God. Bible says in verse number 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my way. Praise God. So I've been a baby. I've been a child. I've been a public school student. I've been a college student. I've been a man with a secular career. I've been a man in the ministry. I've been in the middle age and prime of life. I've been a married man. I've been a father. I am now a senior citizen. I get discounts. They do not balance out the cost of the meds, but you do get discounts. And I'm just going to tell you, my life has been blessed so abundantly in so many ways that I could not possibly have one regret about trusting Christ as my Savior and living my life by the Bible. And not one, many times, many a night, I have sat and thought, I wish I had done that better or handled that better or that had gone differently. Never one time have I thought, I wish I hadn't followed Jesus. I wish I'd just gone on and lived in the world. To make friends of the wisdom of God is the first and best relationship that you ought to have. It makes every other relationship work.
Amen.
Hear instruction. Be wise and refuse it not. This is not a plug. This is not an arm twist. This is just a fact. You could come to church on Sunday morning and hear wisdom from the Word of God. You don't have to. But if you don't, what's the substitute? You could come back on a Sunday evening, and you don't have to, but if you don't, what's the substitute? You could be present in a midweek service. It's not mandatory. But if you don't, what's the substitute? And I'm telling you that if wisdom, God's wisdom, is the supreme and superior thing to attain in this life, Why would you opt out of it in pursuit of a lesser thing, an inferior thing? It's just incredible. What God has made available to us, free of charge. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Post. I was a postman. I was a mailman. And people who had loved ones in faraway lands would come out daily to the mailbox, hoping for some news from the far country. Now you pick up your phone and you talk face to face with somebody on the other side of the world. Didn't used to be that way. Blake and Haley going out to faraway mission field, they used to send letters home, pray for my wife, she's very, very sick. And the wife would be either healed or in heaven a year ago before the letter even reached home. Now, instant. Oh, everything, but didn't used to be that way. And I can tell you, on the first day of the month, I became the most popular man in all the neighborhood. People would not only be standing and waiting by their mailbox, they would be parked in their cars, standing and waiting by the first mailbox on the mail route, hoping to get their welfare check as early as they could on the first day of the month. They were looking with eager anticipation to get what you had donated to their well-being. And many a time have I thought, am I that eager to rise up on a Sunday morning and get in my car and drive to the place where wisdom is going to be delivered? Am I that earnest? Do I have that great a desire to get something that's going to make my life better and carry me through the next series of trials? You know what the Bible says? Wisdom, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. What if God had the answer to your question and you didn't look it up? What if God had the very thing would meet the need of your heart and you didn't attend? What if the Lord had the wisdom necessary for you to make right choices instead of 10 years later regret the choices you had made and you just didn't take the time to search it out? I'll tell you, if you're going to make one friend in this life, make friends with wisdom. If you're going to enter into a partnership with wisdom. Verse 35 says, "Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." People say, "I don't see you, you know, if I sin, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody, it hurts you. I don't see what it matters if I don't live by the Bible. I'm not harming anyone." You're harming yourself. To think that the great God of glory would want to impart to us His wisdom. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. If you picked a field of study, or if you picked a branch of the armed services, You would be really advantaged if you could go to the finest university and listen to the most expert lecturers in that topic. Or if you could somehow fall under the wing in the direction of the most expert military minds. If you wanted to be a musician, and you could take lessons from a master musician, how much better off you would be. Well, all of us aren't going to have this career or that career or join this branch of the service or pursue that field. But every one of us have a life to live. And how remarkable that we can learn, each one of us individually, from the absolute master of life. Isn't that incredible? No tuition. No vying for a spot in the enrollment. No trying to qualify to get into the program. No minimum standards to meet. Lord, I'm asking wisdom. Child, I give it to all men liberally. Do you want it? You can have it. Some of you have a master's degree in this or that. Wouldn't it be great to get a master's degree in life? Some of you have reached the top of your field in some area or another. Wouldn't it be great to reach the top of your field in living? Wisdom says, I'm right here. I'm here when you get up in the morning. I'm here when you drive down the street. I'm here when you walk in that building. I'm here when you sit down in your living room. I'm right here. I'll help you if you just be my friend. What a good God we have.
Amen.
What an opportunity is ours to not live like that, but to live like this. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, would you inspire all of our hearts to seek after wisdom? Would we be self-motivated to seek after wisdom? Would we trust you enough, Lord, to allow you to guide our steps and to lead us through this life? Help us, God, we pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together and sing number 234. The altar is open. God's spoken to your heart. You'd like to come and pray here at this altar this morning. 234, sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life.